It is Mothering Sunday, and the body of Christ right now is in a time of great transition. So are nations. I think the church should be more involved in nations today than ever before. I don't want to get into politics, but we've been in America during this last year's horrendous election period, and the church was very involved in prayer. And I agree with Franklin Graham that the outcome, whether we like it or not, is a result of prayer. And it was tremendous spiritual warfare. And in this time of transition, it's a time of waiting, as we sung, and it's a time to wait on God to birth the next thing. I had the privilege of being birthed into a move of God in 1967. I wanted to talk a little bit about mothers. If you've got your Bibles or your iPads or your cell phone, I'm still a little bit old-fashioned. I told Rob before the service I need to get up and get with it. I took this big black Bible into the restaurant yesterday, and one of the guys said, when are you going to get with it, Vic, and get an iPad? So maybe one day I will. But just look at this. Mothers, I believe mothers, you mums, you can be a mother of your natural children. You can be a mother of adopted children. You can be a spiritual mother, a mother in Israel to many children. Sid Peirce, the 90-mil Peirce, did not have natural children, but they birthed a huge family that are in every nation. A desire of a mother for us, for you, for your children, can be a powerful thing. In fact, I think our destiny is wrapped up somewhat in our mothers. I'm here today because I was at a Bible college in Moreland's Bible College in 1967 with many other students really hungry for God. And what ignited our hunger for God was the Six-Day War in Israel in June 1967. Though I wasn't into Israel, wasn't into God's plan for Israel in those days, many of my student friends, we couldn't wait for the lecture to finish to get to the radio to find out the advancement. Other things happened as well. So I came home for Christmas, and my mother said to me, there's a church up the road, which is South Chard, and she's a Brethren lady, very conservative Brethren lady, not given to any excitement. But she said, I think there's something going on up there. Maybe you should go up. And I did. And 5 days later, Sid Peirce laid hands on me. I've never been the same since. Now, mothers can start a whole move of God. Did you know that? Whether you're a mother of your natural children, it can be ignited in you and into your sons and your daughters, your grandchildren. It can be ignited into a community or to another person who recognizes you as a mother to her. Zebedee, the mother of Zebedee's sons, you open to Matthew 20, verse 20. The mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked him a favor of him. Now, it records in Matthew only that it was a mother who came to Jesus. In the other Gospels, it says that it was James and John who came to Jesus. And this is what she said. Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left hand in your kingdom. Now, is that a vision? That's vision. Where did it come from? The mother. Well, some commentators say maybe, because the other Gospels say it was John and James who came to Jesus and said, hey, can we sit at your right hand and your left hand when you come into your kingdom? Jesus couldn't even answer the question. He says, not mine to give. So one person said, well, maybe the sons went first and asked, and they got no response. So they went back and said, thought maybe Jesus would listen to Mama. Maybe Mama would get his attention and want this desire for his sons. He said, what you're asking, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can, they answered. You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right hand is not mine to grant. Those places belong to those whom have been prepared by my Father. But what this question of this mother, all these boys, ignited was a great teaching on servant leadership. To be a leader today, you've got to be a servant. You can't lead unless you serve first. If you're a servant first, you'll eventually lead. And this request of this mother ignited a teaching which has been huge in the body of Christ over the last few years. Because you and I do not like dictatorship leadership, do we? We don't like to be told what to do, maybe. But if we have somebody who's willing to serve and then share a thought, the thought ignites in our heart can lead us into a great destiny. And so I'd like to talk about this because this is huge. My mother, Ida Dunning, was a lady of God. She used to care for all the people that were kind of passing away in our neighborhood. She was a very caring person. And I'm sure what she told me caused me to make the decision I did to go to that church. Her request was really, she had a destiny in mind for her son. So you mums today, how many mums do we have here today? Lots of mums. Mums of adopted children. Adopted children, our children are wanted. I can remember being in a meeting in a college in Maryland where this Mrs. O'Dare came to talk about abortion, promote abortion. And during her talk, she said, who wants to be adopted? And a young student stood up and said, Mrs. O'Dare, I was adopted. I love my life. And I love my mother and my father. Changed the whole attitude of the meeting. We can initiate many things. Jesus could not answer this question, but he did. This question did ignite this great teaching on servant leadership. That was her desire. That's the destiny she had in mind for her sons. So I'd like to think about, if I don't have all the scriptures to give you today, but I want you to look it up in 1 Samuel chapter 2. There was another mother called Hannah. Do you remember her? She ignited a great move of God because she was barren. There's a great verse in Psalm 113, verse 9. God puts the barren in families and blesses them with children. No lady is barren. You got spiritual life in you. You might have natural life in you, but you've got the ability to birth something that can be change the whole place of history and change people's lives. So Hannah, you know the story. How many of you know the story? For those who don't, she had no children. She went to the priest Eli, sorrowful, because she had no children. And he said to her, may the Lord grant your request. She went home and she got pregnant and she birthed Samuel. What did she do with Samuel? Presented him to Eli and the priesthood and gave Samuel to the Lord and to the ministry that was going on at that time. Now the ministry had gone stale. Eli was dead spiritually. Israel was dead spiritually. The word of the Lord was very precious. There was no open vision. Is that what it says? So she put her son in a very precarious place because Samuel's two sons were rotten to the core and offering burnt offerings that shouldn't have been done, offering strange fire to God. Not a very good place to live. But what did Hannah do? You'll find out if you read the story. She made a robe for her son and brought it to him every year. To me, that robe was a robe of protection. And moms have the ability, we all have the ability to offer protection to the people we have influence with, whether they are natural sons and daughters, our spiritual sons and daughters, or those who God calls us to walk with, or those God gives us to walk with to help protect us through the journey of life. We need protection today, don't we? That's a wonderful story when you think about it. So Hannah gave this robe to her son, and we'll find out in this story that Samuel spent time sleeping in the presence of the Lord, and eventually God heard him. Samuel heard God's voice. Eli was awake enough in his heart to realize it was God speaking to the boy. And the Bible says not one word fell to the ground that came out of Samuel's life. How did that come about? Because of his mom, Hannah. And of course, because of God. And it changed the course of Israel. God's heard voice was heard again, what had never been heard for a long time. The last verse of Judges says, everyone was doing what was right in his own eyes because there was no king in Israel. Samuel's birth and life changed that history in Israel. Powerful. You might be a mother to your in-laws. You might be a mother to your daughter-in-law or your father-in-law or your son-in-law, I should say. You know, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. That's a good way to get into a family. If you touch the mother-in-law, you're probably going to have some influence in the family. And that brought a lot of influence because the next story says Peter had a boat that Jesus got into. And Jesus told them to fish where they could catch no fish, but they caught fish. And after the fish was caught and Peter recognized this was a move of God, he knelt down and said to Jesus, go away from me, I'm a sinful man. There was a connection there in the spirit. And I think it could have been because of the fact that Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick. He touched her, raised her up, and she fed them right away. There's also another great mother, Naomi, in the Old Testament. Who was Naomi a mother to? It's a sad life. She had two sons. They went to Moab because of the famine. And her two sons married two Moabites. And then they died. Talk about a sad situation. And when the sons had passed and the father, Elimelech, had passed, Ruth decided to go back to her kinsman redeemer, back to her own land. And Ruth and her sister, she said, go back to where you belong. The Lord has been hard on me. I've lost my husband and I've lost my sons. You go back to your own land and I'm going to go back to mine. But what did Ruth say? Do you remember? Or what did Ruth say to Naomi? Wherever you go, I go. Your God will be my God. So the mother Naomi became a mother to Ruth. And if Hannah was Samuel's protection, Naomi was Ruth's source of life in a foreign land and told her where to go to reap some wheat, some barley in Boaz's fields. And eventually, Boaz married Ruth. Did I get it right? Why did that start? Tell you what happened out of that union. Obed was born. Who's Obed? Obed's the father of Jesse. And who is Jesse the father of? David. Talk about a move of God starting from a Moabite woman who comes from an awful background. The Moabites came from the relationship of Lot and his daughters. Did you know that? That's why it's good to know that Jesus is a great redeemer. And he can redeem anything and bring life out of anything. It's a great story. You could go through a lot of others, like Moses' mother. Moses knew that her son was special and hid him in the bulrushes. How many mothers here? Have we got mothers? Do you ever look at your children and think, golly, I've got desires for you? It could be from God, and it could happen. So time is going on, and what should we say here? Destiny. You see, Kingsway Christian Fellowship has a destiny. And this is what I sense in my spirit. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. You are waiting on the Lord for a new birth of the next thing God has for Kingsway. Is that right? And you'll be surprised where it comes from. But it's like vision. It comes to us. But it's the key is to wait on it. Now, this is a little thing, but in some ways, but there's no such thing as the good old days. Would you say that with me? You can't bring them back anyway. And as we've already heard, God is a God of now. He's going to birth something now. I spoke to some watermen at a men's breakfast in our island where we live. Watermen are fishermen in the Chesapeake Bay. And I talked about, I didn't know what to teach on really. And so I said to Di, what should I teach on? She said, grace is enough. I was like, that sounds good. And as President Bush was asked what role their wives play, and his answer was, listen to them. And after 47 years, I've learned to listen to my wife. So I went with this grace. G, grace. The grace in G, grace is given. R, it's received. A, it's got to be applied. Grace only works in Christ. And E, it's enough. And grace can initiate great moves of God. And you know, when it's God, it comes easy. It comes easy. We have protection. We've heard. And we have guidance through Naomi to Ruth, which led to a great move of God. Some mothers, you've got your children. And those spiritual mothers here in our midst, many of you I know at Kingsway, just a great prayer time this morning. Mothers, you can birth so much. The other great mother is Mary, right? You go with me to John chapter 2. What did Mother Mary start here? In the first miracle that Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. Look at this scripture. It's kind of interesting. Jesus was on his road to ministry, but he hadn't started yet. Mary knew when he was 12 years old, this was a special boy. She knew when she birthed him, he was a special boy. She birthed God on the earth. And she played a great role here. And you could say, as you read these verses in a minute, Jesus was a bit rude, curt to his mother. When the wine was gone, in chapter 2 of John, verse 3, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" That's what it says in the NIV. Anybody else got another translation? "What is it, Mike?" Doesn't that sound a bit rude to you? Doesn't that sound a bit rude to you? "My time has not yet come." Look what Mary does. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, why was Jesus curt with Mary? Because Jesus knew that if he performed this miracle, his ministry and eventually his death was launched. He lived happy nearly 30 years on this planet as a carpenter. He probably knew his destiny, but his mother ignited it right here. So what's the lesson here? Children, young people, listen to your mothers. Listen to your mothers. Dads, the pastors here will give you a hard time the third Sunday of June, Father's Day. But I'm going to pray, and we can pray. How's God going to connect the dots here at Kingsway for the next move? This is what comes into my spirit, is that the seniors, the elders, will connect with the young, the youth, and they'll walk together and they'll be rejoicing on the streets. There's going to be more happening outside of these four walls than in. Is Mike here? Mike Preston? He doesn't come to my meetings. When I was here, Mike the treasurer was my very best friend. And Mike had this thought about going up and adopting the station around the corner. Do you remember that? And so the station, Mersey Road, I don't know if you know this, provided the dirt and the flowers. And some of the men here went up and trimmed up the station. And one day Mike had this idea that we should go up and I should anoint the platform with oil. Never anointed a platform with oil in all my life. I've anointed people with oil, and I've seen the Lord do some wonderful things. But you know what happened? There was a lady there. She might be here this morning. I know she came here afterwards. She was in the Mormon church. We told her a better way, and she started coming to this fellowship. Not only that, one day I got a phone call here. I was asked to go up to the ticket office, the new ticket office on South Road, and be part of the dedication of the new ticket office. Did you know this story? You don't know anything going on here, do you? We're poor communicators. That's why the Bible says communication is a sacrifice which God is well pleased. So I went up there to the ticket office at their invitation, where the mayor was there and other city officials, to dedicate the office, and they asked me to say a few words. And I looked around on the wall, and there was this nice silver plaque. Back then, it didn't look cheap. It might now after 4 years. But on it, it said, "This station is adopted by Kingsway Christian Fellowship." Did you know that was there? Do you know what I said to myself and to God, to the Lord? This is the kingdom at work. And Mike and I were invited to the Mersey Network Railway annual budget meetings. They didn't ask me to pray or anything, but we were there. Just like Roy, you're probably the influence in the school. There's going to be more happening outside than in. So don't get in your thinking there's going to be more of the Holy Spirit moving in here. It might, but you can't work it up. Is there or not? Just like this morning in this meeting, the presence of the Lord came. Vision comes. Desire comes. We all have desires. And some of them are God-given desires that lead us to our destiny, that mothers, you moms, help nurture and birth in your children. I was 22 when my mother said that to me. It was probably the most directive word she gave. So you're always a mom, and son, you're always a son. And daughter, you're always a daughter. And we need family today like never before. So, have I got time to go on or not? Is it not enough? Quickly. No, quickly. I'm serious because I know Rob and Tino, I was with them Friday, are really sincerely seeking the Lord on how to connect the dots. We need the seniors. You seniors. You never get old. Get older, but we never get old. And the younger folks need you. Don't you younger folks? Listen, you do. You do. We need mentors. You do. Let me just finish with this. When we left here, we went to Texas and we helped the church in Pennsylvania for a short time. And we felt like the Lord directed us to Maryland. It was a very difficult move. But let me just tell you this. Spiritual warfare every step of the way. Would you say that after me? Even if you think what you're doing is the will of God, it ain't going to be a picnic. It used to be easier. It's still easy if you just wait for that anointing, because the anointing makes it easy. But it's not without conflict. It's not without conflict. And so we moved to this place called Tillman, and the first few days I was there, I was invited to speak at a men's breakfast. I was so blessed with the connection and how it went. Half of them were not going to church. I went home crying to Diane. I said, "You won't believe what happened this morning." Then a few days later, a gentleman came into our house, a retired businessman. He's had 350 people working under him, Lynn. And he said, "I've never told anybody this. We'd only known each other a few days." He heard me at the breakfast. Probably felt like possibly a spiritual man. I'll take a risk and go and visit him. He sat down. He said, "I've never told anybody this. But I've been divorced. And I want to ask you to help us build a men's ministry here. With accountability." Lynn and his wife, Deborah, have become our closest friends in 4 years. And through that union, and then meeting other businessmen, Outside the church, are you still with me? Outside the church is very, very, I'm a great believer in the local church. I'm a great believer in the local church. But when you start praying for God to move here, don't ask him to move inside these four walls only. Ask him to move down our streets and into the community. Like he did in a little way, I thought, when we were here with the station. And with these businessmen, we've birthed a breakfast in the yacht club, not the church, the yacht club in St. Michael's. And we've got over 120 people there. We've got a police chief to speak about putting people in jails. And he read Genesis 1:27. God made man in his own image, and they weren't made to be put in a cell. And the community was touched because people came together, and we called it unity in the community. Only a little thing. I'm not sure where our part is in it in the future. But something was birthed. You're going to birth new things. But don't get tunnel vision. Think out. Think of Kingsway as the base and the source and the prayer base. But think outside. We got to think outside the box. And we used to think that the mind has nothing to say. Used to sing that, didn't we? But you know what? The mind is the eye of the soul. And when God speaks to us, it comes into our head at some point. Hopefully. It starts in our heart. It's birthed in our spirit. And it's put into our minds. And if it's of God, it has stayed there until you and I do something about it. And that's, I believe, where God is taking us. Listen to these scriptures here. What the righteous desire will be granted. So as you're praying, whatever comes on your heart, push through. Let it come to pass. I love this one. When desire comes, it's a tree of life. I like life, don't you? Life. It's a tree of life. So you mums have a great role to play. Praise God for mums. We finally, it was a warfare getting here. I don't want to go into all the story, part of his health. But I had an email last week from my cousin Phil Dunning asking me to perform the funeral for his mother, which is my Aunt June. When I was here, sovereignly here, her husband, Uncle Ed, to me, passed away, and they asked me to officiate at the graveside. Aunt June was like a mother to me from the age of 2 or 3 to 12. So to be here when Aunt June decides to go, and she needed to, she had Alzheimer's, she wasn't really here. That kind of sealed the deal for us to come. So not only is it a privilege, Dave, and a joy to sit with you here, and to be here, I trust you've heard what I've said. Think outside the box. Listen to Mama. My wife has more common sense than me. Common sense may not be spiritual once in my mind, but it is. Because as Dave used to say, the natural comes first, then the spiritual. If we haven't got it together naturally, we probably haven't got it together spiritually. Anyway, I don't want to go into that. So how are we going to do this, Rob? Give out flowers, right? Can I stand up, my wife?
Sure.
Look at my lovely wife. Oh, can I pray? Can I pray? Is that all right? And you're going to give out flowers. I hope we've not gone into. Oh, good children. Oh, I can still preach.
No, pray for the mums.
Well, pray for the mums. Aunt Mill was your mum, right? The spiritual mum.
Spiritual mum, maybe, yeah.
What do you want to say about it? Anything?
No.
Wonderful woman.
Yeah.
She was a wonderful lady. She was a mum. Didn't have any natural children. That was painful, probably. But look what they birthed. I meet people in America all over the place today. They had their beginnings at South Yard. Hallelujah. So what did I say?
Think outside.
Let's see if you remember. What?
Think outside the box. Yeah. Sorry, I'm giving you the clue.
Yeah, yeah. So who does Mama Hannah represent? Protection for your children, right? And what does Naomi represent? Guidance to her in-laws, her daughter-in-law, that led her to Boaz, that brought King David into being. Think about it. What mama you can birth in 2017 as you look and pray over your children? Whew, I'm sure you pray for protection. I'm sure you pray for guidance. But what was Mary doing? I didn't bring that point. What was Mary doing with Jesus? Tell you what she was doing. She was releasing him to his destiny. He didn't like it. If you read the next chapter, you know why. They were after him for his death right away because of the miracles. So he was basically saying to Mama Mary, why do you want me to perform this miracle? It's going to kill me. But she did it. He did it. And thank God Jesus went to the cross for you and I because of Mama Mary starting his ministry, which led him to the cross. It's a thought. Think about it. It's a journey. And whatever we have the privilege to be a part of birthing. Birthing. Vision comes. Okay. Oh, whoops. We're going to stand. What we're going to do? Pray for the mums. Your mums want to come out? Natural mums? No? Who? Does any mums want to come out here for prayer?
Pray for the ladies.
Oh, pray for the ladies. Oh, okay. Well, every lady here is a mum.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
See, I need my wife. She keeps me straight.
The men are leaving.
They've had enough. No. Okay, let's just pray for the mothers here. Mothers in Israel. Oh, you have an important role. Mothers of any adopted children. Mothers of natural children. Those that have come from your womb, that you've birthed, you'll always have a bond with. Heavenly Father, we pray for mums today. We pray you'll give them encouragement in their hearts because it's not easy being a mother. Pray, Father, they will know how and when they need to protect their children. Whether it's where they shouldn't go or should go. May your name, Lord Jesus, be spoken through the mouths of mothers that protects us all. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Heavenly Father, give them words of guidance that will lead their children to their God-given destiny in life. And Lord, give them the power and the ability to release them to the walk of life that you have planned for them. Protecting and guiding and letting go, Lord, are all big things. When we can only do it, moms can only do it in your strength and through your grace. But there's plenty of that, Lord, plenty of grace. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.